I thought about, well, now what could I say in this short period of time that would be meaningful, and that if I were sitting back there that I would like to hear. And I remember, you know, I've lost a few hairs along the road, but I do remember back, you know, when I was in your place, you know, before the earth's crust had hardened and all that. But I remember how it was, especially for a Christian, concerning knowing the will of God. And this has been something that's been on my heart since the moment I was saved. And I don't have time to tell you about personally what I went through and all this. But it was a real struggle as far as God revealing His will in my occupation. Of course, we like to know His will for other things besides that. But that's kind of what I'm going to center on tonight, is how He worked in showing me my occupation, some of the principles that I gained from that. I'm just going to share them with you, and hopefully they'll be of some benefit. But I do believe, number one, that God has a will and a plan for every one of our lives. I believe that strongly. And what I'm sharing tonight, I believe, I had some art background and all this, but I believe that I know more about what I'm talking about tonight as far as God's will than really my art background, because I not only researched it, I lived it. And I know where I'm coming from. And I believe what I'm telling you and sharing is scriptural. Now, you may have heard it before, but it bears repeating. But God does have a will and a plan for every believer. And God wants us to know His plan more than we want to know it ourselves. And I think it's actually a misnomer to say, you know, I found the will of God. You know, like I want to find the will of God like it's lost. And it's not lost. It's not an Easter egg hunt, you know, and we get closer. Says, ah, now you're closer. No, now you're getting cold, you know, and it's a big game. He wants us to know it. And He'll provide us the means to knowing it. And it's a highly individualized thing. You know, the mechanics are different for every person, but there are basic principles, and that's what we're going to try to touch on tonight. It's really unfortunate that He doesn't give us a plan and say, what is your name here? And I say, David, here's my will for you for the next 50 years. Now just go out, get after it. You see, he was ready to take it. but He won't give it to us in advance, and there's reasons for that. But here's some five things that the Bible says is God's will for our lives. It's straight from Scripture. Number one, that we're be saved. Number two, sanctified. And this is from a tape and from other study I've done. Number one, saved. Number two, sanctified. They're all with S's, by the way. Number three, Spirit-filled. Number four, submissive. And number five, I don't particularly care for it. Just soon leave it out, but it's suffer. Saved, sanctified, Spirit-filled, submissive, and suffer. That's God's will for us. Now you say, well, that didn't help me when I need to know, when I'm looking for a job and I need to know what to do, or I need to know whether to take this course, or I need to know what major. You know, I need to know the nitty-gritty details. But that's in general, and that's real important. But these five things can be summed up in one passage of Scripture, and that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. That is the key, which I'm sure you've heard before. And that's, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that is the key element. Now, what's that saying? And I'm trying to hurry because there's so little time. But what's that saying is we've got to live a holy, holy life before the Lord. That we've got to be a living sacrifice, close to Him, before God's going to reveal anything to us. A transformed living sacrifice, obedient, Spirit-filled. Because if we want to know the individual will for our lives, the details, He's not going to supply that if we're not being obedient with the moral will of God. Did you hear that? Did you get that? He's not going to communicate with us if we're not morally right with Him. And that's got to be taken care of first. If we meet the criterion of Romans 12, 1 and 2, if we're a living sacrifice, if we really mean business with God and trying to stay close to Him, then the antenna is ready for receiving from God anything He wants to tell us. Now, that leads me now to the others, the principles. Now, number one is this. God will lead us through our desires. God will lead you through your desires. Now, you can see where people could get messed up if you're not close to the Lord on your desires. But if your life is right, watch your desires. And this is a very liberating thing, because a lot of people don't believe that God will want you to go against something. If you have two choices, one you like, one you dislike, God's automatically going to make you suffer and take the thing you don't want to do. That's not necessarily true. I don't think that might be true on a short-term basis, but for a career or a ministry long-term, I don't think God will call you to do something you'd be miserable and unhappy doing. They asked John MacArthur one time why he came to Grace Church, and they were expecting him to wax eloquent with some, you know, long verbiage, and he said, because I really had a desire to go there. And the people will step back and say, oh, is that all? He says, yeah, that's it. But that's where he was coming from. God can change your desires if He wants you to change the direction you're going. I've seen that happen, by the way. I saw a boy one time during a lay witness, lay renewal meeting, that he was in church music. And he ate it up and studied, and that's all he wanted to do. God called him to preach, and he said he lost all his desire to go on in music. Just completely shut it off. And I believe God will lead by our desires. And our indwelling Holy Spirit can help us along those lines too. A great element in it, that we can trust our desires by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, this seems simple, but your ability and gifts, very, very well may be God's hint at what He wants you to do. Now, I'm talking about it for an occupation. It isn't always true, but why would God give you these gifts and abilities if He didn't want you to do something with them? So watch that. You know, I don't know if it's still the same, but when I was going to school, some of these behavior modification people and the humanists and some of these guys said, you don't have any innate abilities or gifts. It's you learn everything you have. It's a learn process. You just learn it. Well, that's just not true. I mean, all you have to do is have some children, and please don't do that yet. But you notice they're different from the word go. And if that were true, what they're trying to say is everybody could run 109 to or whatever. Everybody could sing beautifully, and that's just ridiculous. We're given gifts and abilities, and I think God gives them for a reason. So watch that. Thirdly, God may close and open doors to show you where He wants you to go. This could be temporarily or permanently, according to His sovereign will. Now, this goes back to why He wouldn't show you 50 years in advance what you're supposed to do. There's a reason for that. Now, in my case, I thought I wanted to do about three or four major things in life, and God shut it off and closed those doors in my face. It's over a 15-year period. I hope you don't have to go that long. Probably won't. But He was funneling me into what He wanted me to do. That's the way it happened. And you sit back and say, why didn't you just tell me in the first place? You know, why did you put me through this? And here's some reasons. Number one is He wants us to keep close to Him. Keep our eye on it and be dependent on Him. Another reason is to test us and mature us. Remember the situation with Joseph? Went from a real posh life in a tent with his father and so on, to a prison than the second command in Egypt. Look at Moses, what happened to Moses. Look at Israel. You could go on and on. Thirdly, sometimes when he puts up barriers, he's saying, no, wait, there's something better. There's something better. I remember that's what one of the things that kept me alive during the time God was closing doors in my life. He would just add something better down the road. So don't get upset. You know, and you've probably heard this before, some of the worst things that can happen to us, in the long run, you look back and say, boy, that's one of the best things that ever happened in my life. And I didn't recognize it at the time. And lastly, one of the reasons God closes these doors and makes us go through some of these testings and trials and frustrations about showing His will along the way is to He'll get glory. He'll gain the glory for Himself, to give Himself glory. I want to refer back to an incident in the history of Israel and close with this. You remember when they were at the Red Sea? God's will was for Israel to go through the Red Sea and get in the Promised Land. But they had Pharaoh behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. You know, that's the rock and the hard place, right? And what were they going to do? Why did God let them do that? The last, very last second, God delivered them. The Red Sea parted in a miraculous way. Do you think they'll ever could have ever forgotten that very easily? Did you know that's referred to back in the Old Testament over and over and over? And that's to prick our conscience to remember what God has done for us so He'll gain the glory. And this is all through Scripture where God will sometimes get us in a situation. If you've ever been in a hopeless situation, you didn't think there's any way that you could get out of it, a test or you know, whatever. You got three dates in the same night. I don't know what kind of things you do, but you didn't think there was any way. And you say, oh, Lord, you know. And God will deliver us because God will stack the deck, make the odds impossible so that when deliverance comes, and I get this, so that when deliverance comes, it'll be obvious that God did it and that we didn't have anything else to do with it. And that's why He lets us go through these things. And I'll never forget the way God delivered me. At the very last second, it was almost like one of these Red Sea things. But I hope that those things, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to develop them, but I hope they'll be valuable to you.